cliffcentral.com.
Yes. Camila Cabello and Shawn Mendes. Very nice. Señorita. Mm, that's good.
Isn't that just a name you want to say a couple of times?
Señorita.
What? Camila Cabello.
Camila Cabello.
Camila Cabello.
That's yeah, very nice.
Mm, I'll have my coffee with a side order of Camila Cabello.
Yeah. Yes, you just made it weird.
No, it just sounds like a nice thing to eat. Never mind. No, in like you want...
Do you want a spade for that hole?
No, like may
keep
I have...
Keep on digging, Sia.
May I have a Greek salad with some Camila Cabello sauce on it?
No.
Still, again...
Okay, I'm keeping quiet. Never mind. Hello. Mm.
All right. What's going on? What do we need to know about this morning? What's the most important story
know that,
in the world?
Firstly, that Jesus is king.
Yes, but...
Hallelujah.
That's Kanye West's thing, right?
It is. So apparently, you know, he's releasing his new album.
Yes.
Called Jesus is King. He's also releasing an IMAX film because the the music album was just not enough.
Oh.
It was announced only yesterday that he'll release this new IMAX film alongside the forthcoming album.
Yes.
So it's Jesus is King, a Kanye West film. It'll bring his now famous Sunday service to viewers around the world. This was one particular service which was filmed. It was filmed in the Roden Crater, which is a never-before-seen art installation in Arizona's Painted Desert.
Okay.
Created by a visionary artist.
So what's the movie going to be? I mean, like, I'm struggling. Is it Kanye performing a service?
It's basically that, it'll also
one
feature...
One of his Sunday services.
Yeah. It'll also feature songs in the gospel tradition that he arranged, as well as music from his new album.
That doesn't sound fun.
I would not buy this or watch it. Would you?
I'm trying to imagine, because an IMAX is a bigger screen and it's an enhanced experience. Will it be like an amazing thing to be a part of just for the extra sound benefit?
I don't think I would even watch a 10-second YouTube video or 10 seconds of a YouTube video of this.
Yeah.
It's just self-indulgent.
I enjoy the performances based on his... take on different songs.
So musically.
Yeah, and also the harmonies. Look, I'm no music expert, but it is astounding how he brings together this like massive choir, and it's like easily 30, 40, 50 people, and how he has these different harmonies, and yeah, it's... it's...
I just battle to watch people who have this look on their face, this glazed look, and they're rocking from side to side and they're holding up their arms, facing their palms to the sky. I battle to watch that.
Yeah,
this makes me very uncomfortable.
This doesn't excite me. Sorry.
And in this day and age, to get people out of their homes, whomever you are, to get people out of their homes and to purchase a ticket and to sit in a cinema is asking for a lot. I think it would have been smarter if you released it as a Netflix special or something on demand online. IMAX is a tall ask.
Yeah, so good luck, Kanye. I mean, listen, you know, good for you. You're doing something different and interesting, and good luck. This is not for me.
Look, and a lot of people are harping on about how he's making money off Jesus and
please.
I'm like, well,
people have been making money off Jesus forever.
Exactly.
Come on. What are you talking about?
How's this different to so many other people we see?
Someone's upset about that. Go back in history, comb the history of humanity and see how many people made money out of religion.
People are out here selling holy water in 500 milliliter plastic bottles.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right.
Let's just hope that water's not from the eye throne. The eye throne is a new toilet.
Come again?
What?
It's an evaporative toilet.
What?
That answers the call for healthy cities.
Oh. What does it do? You put the stuff
it
in a pan?
It evaporates your stuff.
No way.
It's been developed for the past 6 years, and it's finally being rolled out to, I think it's Uganda. Yes, that's right.
Yeah?
It's made by a company called Change Water Labs.
Yeah?
It's an alternative to flushing waste called the iThrone. It's a portable, space-saving, waste-shrinking toilet that eliminates up to 95% of daily waste on site.
Yeah, I see. I'm still worried about what happens at 10%.
I have so many.
At 5%. 5%, as I was saying, 5%.
So it's designed for dwellings and communities that lack power or plumbing.
Yeah.
It's just snagged funding from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology.
Oh, exciting.
The lab plans to conduct its first pilot deployment in a district school and hospital in Uganda. It's going to provide sanitation to 500 to 1,000 people.
Hmm.
So it uses a breathable membrane.
Oh, for yes, go on.
To soak up and evaporate or flush away the liquid content of daily waste.
Hmm.
Not only does the iThrone not consume or pollute water, but it actually converts waste into clean water vapor.
Fantastic. All right.
So, yes, it's an ideal drop-in solution to provide immediately safe sanitation at a low cost.
Yeah, drop-in. That's about right. Get your plink.
I'll show you a picture and you can perhaps describe it and tell me if you would sit on it.
No, I would not. It looks like an enormous long drop with like a plastic thing around it. It's just too ugly and it takes up too much space. I like my flush toilet. Thank you
it's
very much.
It's meant to be space saving. I think maybe the illustration might be perceived differently.
No, look at the size of that, the seat.
That's very wide. I
mean. Yeah. No, it's a big ugly thing. Don't even bother Googling the image because I know you'll be disappointed.
You wouldn't want it in your house.
Hell no.
Luckily for you, you have power and water.
Well, for now.
Yeah.
But yes. So basically, when you use the iThrone, your waste is collected in evaporative pouches. The pouches dehydrate liquid and solid waste so that only a few grams of dried solids remain.
Okay. Oh, no. And then.
And are hygienically contained.
Yeah, you have to empty it out, like into a skip or something.
You put them in a landfill, and
they can
be processed at a treatment plant.
So you end up with
it's 10 times better than what we're doing now, pooping into our pipes.
Well,
into the city's pipes. You know what I mean?
Better in the greatest.
I love
scheme
when you get
things,
angry about this,
but I don't have to take out bags of my own.
Yeah, see,
I imagine it to be a little, those like little chiffon jewelry bags with a bow around
don't
it.
Don't class it up because it's not classy.
Like a poopery bag.
I don't even like to place too much thought into understanding that I have to do this.
Yeah, I don't want to think
about my bowel movements.
I don't want to think about it either.
I like to pretend that I don't.
So you're just going to continue crapping into Johannesburg's pipelines.
Yeah, pretty much. It's all Johannesburg does for me.
You have to reciprocate.
Yeah, I mean, that's all Joburg does for me, so I don't see why
they
you should
gripe
stop
on
using
you, so right. You gripe on them.
Yes, exactly. Is there anything they're good for right now? So, Herman Mashaba in Johannesburg.
This crapping two-way street.
I'm telling you. I've thought about this long and hard, and I've discovered that the one thing that the government does still do is take away my shit, which I'm kind of happy about.
Yeah, they really don't have a choice in that matter.
Yeah, the municipal government, that's their whole purpose. That's the whole reason we have them.
Well, up until the iThrone comes into play. I actually thought this was something...
It's a prototype, guys. I mean, the whole system, we would only see something like that being implemented in normal houses.
Wait until Apple gets wind of this.
They're going to make them change the name, that's for sure.
Leanne, good for you for trying to convert us to this, but no.
Mm, no. Yeah, I'm not there either.
I was grocery shopping. It was so exciting. And I saw a spray in the toilet spray section which is like a urine smell eliminator. And I thought, why? So I took a closer look. And it's so that you don't have to flush your urine so many times. It neutralizes the smell of urine completely. Yeah, it's just weird, but it's happening.
Would you spray this into?
Into the bowl.
Right into the bowl.
After you've had a pee, you spray it.
Right into the bowl.
Then you can close the lid. That's fantastic. And when you open it, it's not going to stink, but you also you can, when it's yellow, let it mellow. When it's brown, flash it down.
All right, that's quite enough lavatorial stuff for one morning. Yes, I think everybody's starting their day. They don't need to be put off any more than already.
Doesn't have to be that way, but we can still talk about disgusting behavior.
Go on.
And this is disgusting behavior that employees of Disney World and Disneyland across planet Earth are complaining about, because employees there have had enough.
Of what?
Disgusting behavior by visitors to all of these places. Sorry. They say it's the most magical place on Earth, but not if you work there. Because employees, I'm not laughing, employees are actually now formalizing all of their complaints, and they're laying their complaints to supervisors and authorities because they've just had enough of visitors who treat them so horribly.
So these people come to the theme park, and if you work, I'm supposing these are not the people who wear the Mickey Mouse outfits, or is it them as well?
It's all of them. Employees at Disneyland and Disney World are officially known as cast members. And the cast members are currently reporting that they are tired of being yelled at, being pushed, being hit, being scratched, and even spat on by visitors.
Why would anyone go to Disneyland and spit on their employees?
Because...
what kind of happy people do we live among?
Here are just some of the cases that these employees are writing up.
This is
One
terrible.
Of the cast members says that they were scratched, elbowed, and shoved by a 36-year-old man. You know why?
No.
Because the Winnie the Pooh ride wasn't working.
He's like...
this guy really wanted that Winnie the Pooh ride, huh?
Yeah.
Imagine being so pissed off. One employee was pushed by a 64-year-old Canadian man who was impatient about exiting a ride after the ride broke down. This man said, "Get the bleep out of my way." Oof. He says, "I'm done with it." A female staffer had to inform a visitor who was staying at a $600 a night resort that he had shown up at the wrong time for a ride at the resort. After the worker let the guest go ahead anyway, the irritated man grabbed her shoulder and yelled, "I'm not your slave, and you don't tell me what to do." People are pissed.
Why would you go to Disneyland if that's your attitude? Disneyland is the last place you should go. You should go to the shrink.
There's a whole lot of
imagine you work
Disney
in a
characters
theme
that
park. You're some kid out of varsity or straight out of school, and you're going to work at Disneyland. I mean, it's like, wow, I'm going to be with fun things. I mean, there's going to be fun around me all the time. People dancing and music playing and rides and ice creams and cool things. You get there and you meet some dude who's cross about the Winnie the Pooh ride being closed.
Yep.
Kicking you and punching you and spitting in your face.
Another Disney World employee had to tell a Chicago woman that she didn't have a valid fast pass. And a fast pass basically is a ticket that fast tracks you when you're standing in queues.
Yes.
And after explaining to this woman that, sorry, your fast pass is invalid, this woman ended up then punching her in the face.
Wow. So uncalled for.
The Disney worker walked away with a swollen eye, but has yet to press charges up until now. And then it gets a little serious, though. In two separate incidences near the Haunted Mansion ride in a Disney World, one worker was reported a visitor grabbing her crotch, while another reported a different parkgoer touching her breast twice.
Wow.
So look, like, I mean, this is...
But, you know, I haven't been.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure I'd want to go. Maybe, yes, just to experience it once. But these people are standing in long, long, long queues.
Yes.
You literally have to choose two rides that you would want to go on that day and bank on going those two. So if you've planned for a week that you're going on the Winnie the Pooh ride, you've got sweaty, screaming, snotty children.
Yes.
And you get to the front of the queue and there's a problem, you're going to want to punch whoever's at the front.
Yeah, I don't think punching is ever a good idea, though. Just for the record, you know?
Yeah, these
if you can avoid punching, that would be nice.
Yeah, I mean, completely.
Yeah, please, let's try not to punch.
These employees are just bringing this up because they say, yes, it's all good and well, it's the happiest and most magical place on Earth, but they're just tired of the entire working conditions that they have to endure. On top of it all, you know, it's now known how hard these Disney employees have to work in any case. You know, like if you're supposedly Winnie the Pooh, if you are dressed up as Winnie the Pooh, and you are seen in the vicinity of the Disney World, at Disneyland, even just outside of the premises, and you're spotted by a visitor, you still have to be in character. Oh, you still have to smile at the kid because you can't ruin the fantasy.
Oh, that is cruel.
It's been known that some people have been fired, like, you know, Cinderella, because, you know, there you can actually
see her face. She's not in a mascot costume.
Some people have been fired because they didn't smile at a child outside of the Disney World or the Disneyland.
Sounds horrible to work at Disneyland. I'm totally changing my plans for next year.
You're being punched. I was going to go spat on.
I was going to go and dress up as Mickey and walk around the park going, okay. "Hey, hello, children. I'm Mickey Mouse." I could do the voice.
I saw
thought that was all I needed.
I saw a photograph of a Labrador who usually watches Donald Duck cartoons at homes. He loves Donald Duck on the TV.
The dog.
Yes. And so he went to Disneyland and he met Donald Duck, the mascot. There's a photo of him. He's now fallen asleep on Donald Duck's lap.
This is a dog.
Yes.
It's amazing.
Well, Disney acknowledges all of this. They say it is unfortunate, and they say it's up to their employees as to whether their employees will press charges or not. They've said that they are now undergoing safety training for all of their employees. Imagine.
No.
The happiest place on earth now has to have safety training. Employees are now encouraged to carry two-way radios or a phone to call for help at any time. There are now Disney security and deputy sheriffs that will patrol the grounds. And the company has also now instituted a wellness assistance program that provides 5 free mental health visits with a counselor for each employee.
Wow, that's terrible. You've just put me off working at Disney completely. A couple of messages that came in this morning. Let's just check one or two of these out. You guys need to watch the 3-part series on Netflix about Bill Gates. Yeah, this is about the 4th person now, Carl, who's let me know that I need to watch this. The first episode is all about toilets and the problem with toilets. Watch it. It's hectic. The iThrone is a hugely relevant innovation. Mm. All right, Carl. So there we go. Where Bill Gates overlaps with crapping. That's the new thing to pay attention to. And the Bill Gates Netflix documentary, this is another, this is from Ali, who says, "We have a luxury of not thinking about it."
Yeah.
Referring to the crapper solution, of course. Yeah, I know. And it is such a waste of water to, like, wash your stuff down.
7 liters a flush.
Yeah. Do you want to hear what Tian has to say?
Okay.
All right, let's go to Tian quickly and see what he has to say.
Jesus is King Kanye Ni.
Jesus is King Kanye Ni.
Oh, Kanye Ni. Kanye.
Gareth, I warned you, Kanye is starting a cult. Watch out for those Kardashian Kanye zombies. That's from Cassandra, who's also starts with a K. You've got to be careful of her as well. All right. Good morning, Cliff Central. I wrote this song for all of you. Please play it for Jarrett during the interview. I hope you enjoy it. Oh, boy. Okay, it's going to be a like some kind of I'm staying song. I'm nervous, Chris, but I'll see what maybe I do it. Good morning, guys. Have a listen to what the deputy police minister has to say about Hillbrow. And Gugu, are you still procrastinating? Did you give those guys their keys back? Gugu was meant to give his neighbors their keys back. He stole some keys from them, and it's a whole story. Have you given them back? Did you find them? Did you put them under the mat?
I didn't steal them, Gareth. I took them.
Yeah, so you took them and they weren't yours.
Yeah, but
That's called stealing.
It's called retribution.
No. So what happened? Have you given them back?
No, I haven't given them back, and I don't plan on doing it. There's an extra 2 set of keys lying around that I have. I don't know. They'll figure it out.
They've probably already made copies for themselves.
Yeah, they did, actually. But I can go in there any time if
still,
I want.
You shouldn't be proud of this. You stole someone's keys.
I don't know.
Yeah, I think everybody is against you on this one. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking. All right. Just something to think about. This comes in this morning on the messages from someone N. Just something for thought. Some chronic meds cause excessive weight gain regardless of exercise or diet,
yes,
unfortunately.
Yes, that's also true.
That's in response to a discussion that we had earlier about 250-odd people who die every single day in South Africa from?
Heart attacks.
That's right. Someone says they'd rather work for the Disney Polokwane.
Yeah.
Which is so terrible.
Yeah, Disney Polokwane, the people drinking.
They had
you can half-ass it if you want to be a mascot.
Sure. Yes.
Sing
like
some songs
plan.
With some F-bombs in it.
Much better.
Yeah, actually, that is better.
All right. Otherwise, what's in the news? 35... Now, Leanne loves these lists. She's brought us so many useful lists in the last little while. So 35 life hacks you wish you knew about sooner.
Okay, let's see.
Okay, we won't do them all. But you know when you want to go for a jog and you put your keys in your pocket and they jiggle about and you wonder if it's going to pop out while you're jogging?
Oh, can I quickly tell this because it just reminded me.
I think I just started.
Oh, no. Sorry, can I just... So I like to go on walks every now and then.
Yes.
And there's a specific park that I like to walk in. And so I went on Saturday morning. Mm. I'm not a professional runner. I don't like to engage in strenuous, you know, physical activities. So I'm minding my own business on Saturday morning. And I got stuck in the middle of a park run.
Oh, sherbet.
Oh, my goodness. There are easily, I'll say, 500 people partaking in this run. And now I can't...
How horrible.
I can't get out of it. And these are all serious runners. I'm right in the middle of it going, okay, now I have to keep up with everyone anyway.
So you ran a bit.
I had to run.
Oh no, Sia.
Dreading every single moment of it up until I thought, okay, screw it, you have to find a way out.
Oh no.
I found a small pedestrian gate. I like dashed out of there, let the mob run past, and I just sat underneath a tree going, this is not what I signed up for. Signed up for a kumbaya walk, not an intensive run.
That
anyway.
Hectic.
That happened to my dad. He was on a normal cycle. He was training in the morning, and he ended up being caught in the flow of the 94.7. And at the end, he got a medal. No.
All right, but you were telling us keys jiggling around in your pocket.
Or even coins or whatever. Mm-hmm. You just... put your hand under your shorts and grab the inside of the pocket. Mm-hmm. You know, grab the pocket from the...
from below.
From below.
Yes.
And tie an elastic band above the keys or whatever it is.
Oh, wow.
Yes, it's something so simple, but, you know.
Okay, well, it's a solution, I suppose. There's a life hack that you didn't think of. Okay, fine.
You know, Gareth, the other day you were talking about reorganizing your whole... sound system, TV setup, audio, visual.
Yes, I was so proud of myself. I did it all.
And I know you did it really well with beautiful labels.
Yes.
Okay, for those of us who are a little more lazy.
Yes.
You know the little clips that tie up red?
Yeah.
Use those. Write DVD on them.
Yeah, as a cable tie.
Oh.
No, just as a marker.
Okay.
Just as labels.
Very good.
Lamp, okay. Blu-ray, if you've got that still. Wii.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's a good life hack. I like that.
Taco shells. I love them.
I bring in a piece of paper now in the end as these lists, and I actually make my own. Nuts. Yeah. Okay, go on.
The hard taco shells.
Yes.
Absolutely amazing.
Yes, four.
But they crack and then your mincemeat leaks out of them.
Yes, terrible.
If you line those with a piece of lettuce.
Oh.
That'll help.
Very good. Mm. So you use lettuce as like the plastic inside layer.
Yes.
Okay.
You know when you've got a particularly stubborn knot in your shoelace?
I thought you were going to say in my neck. Yes, I have one of those at the moment.
If you use two hair clips, maybe, any girls will understand this, I'm not quite sure. But you loop the two pieces of shoelace that are not in the knot.
Mm-hmm.
You choose one on each side and loop a hairpin around them. And you can pull them apart that way.
Oh,
yeah.
That's a little more complex. I'll need you to demonstrate that one.
You know, sometimes you've got Avos which aren't ripe, those ones that you usually buy off the side of the road.
Mm-hmm.
A quick way to ripen them, I know a lot of people stick them into newspaper or whatever.
Yeah.
You can actually put them into one of those beer koozies. Those like...
an Avo?
Yes.
You put an Avo into a beer koozie?
Yes.
What's a beer koozie?
Keeps your beer cool. It's like a fabric felty type...
oh,
that beer holder thing.
See, I don't drink beer, so I don't know about this. All right.
Put them in there. Apparently, they ripen up quicker.
Okay.
What else?
How did someone discover that?
Yeah, exactly.
But okay, we're grateful, I guess.
A beer koozie.
Yeah, I've never heard of that term before. Isn't it just a beer holder?
All right. No, I'm learning new stuff every day. Go on.
If you want to keep your computer from falling asleep, if you're the type who uses a mouse, you can stick your watch face underneath the mouse.
Why?
Because it creates that endless movement.
The actual movement of the hands on your watch?
Makes the mouse think it's moving.
Makes the mouse think that it's moving all the time.
Folks, really?
Well, if you're in a hurry and you've got to get You don't want you to come back and your screen has gone to sleep.
Oh, sorry. Let me.
I mean, alternatively, you can just go into settings and say, just don't sleep.
Yes.
You know, I did that. God, it's complicated.
Jason, some of them, like this one, sure. This one's pathetic.
Yeah, I think this just overcomplicates your life.
If everything on your laptop works fine, but the hinge is broken. So, in other words, this your screen wants to just flop down.
Yes.
You can tape.
Mm-mm. What?
Mm-mm.
Tape an old photo frame.
Goodbye.
Onto the back, and then you can use the leg of the photo frame. Okay. So some of these are like really pathetic.
Do you understand the looks you will get at a meeting?
And in the picture of this one, the photo frame still got its price on it.
Yeah, I'm not up for that
if
one.
I whip that out at a meeting, excuse me, I just need to take notes.
I like this one, actually. You know, when you are charging something, a phone or a laptop or whatever,
mm-hmm.
and then you move the device away, and the charger thingy usually falls onto the floor.
Yes.
And you can keep them up with these little Lego normal Lego figurines.
Mm-hmm.
Their hands are perfectly shaped.
Oh, their hands can fit the little cable perfectly?
Yes.
Oh, wow.
So it can hold stuff up on your desk.
So you buy some Lego guys, and you make them carry the cable across your desk. That'll be hilarious. They're all holding them one hand up, carrying your cable. That's fantastic.
I now have to go and steal from my nephew.
Yeah, I know.
Exactly. I like this one. Have you ever left your... cable, your charging, your phone cable in a hotel room or somewhere?
When it was charging overnight, and then I'll pack my bag the next morning and leave it, yeah?
And or you're always petrified and you're like, I must remember my cable.
Yeah, exactly.
I must remember.
Yeah, sure.
So what you do is you take your cable and tie a knot in it.
Okay.
And then hook your car keys onto that.
Clever.
So when you leave, you need
to
your car keys.
Have to leave the next morning with your car keys, yeah. Good
I have
point.
To do something like that. Cause
right. But knowing some people... They'd leave their car keys and the cable then. So, I don't know if that's a good idea.
You know, sometimes if you put Tupperware into a dishwasher,
mm-hmm.
when you open the dishwasher, they've turned around and they've collected all of that water in them and soap.
Yes.
Hate that. So what you can do is...
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never used a dishwasher in my life.
Put them in upside down and then take a normal dish drying rack.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And put it over the top of it.
So that it holds everything in place.
Yes. Hmm. I'm going to use that one.
Okay.
Yeah. Also, if you're in a place that doesn't have, for some reason, maybe you're in a guest room or something, doesn't have a side table.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For your glasses and your wallet and your phone.
Yes.
If you just adjust the way you fold the sheets, the fitted sheet, you can create a little pocket for yourself.
I'm all about being economical, but I'm also all about being chic. That is not chic at all.
Don't like that.
Folding your sheet so that it creates a little pocket.
Yes.
If I dare am invited to your place and you are trying to woo me over and you take me to your bedroom
like
and I find that...
pocket. No.
Miss me, kind.
I don't even like it in the hotel when they tuck it in at the bottom and I can't get my feet out, because sometimes you want your feet out, not in. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Useful. Is that it?
Yeah. The others are a bit...
Because you could go on all day with your list.
I could, but no. That's it for now.
When is the next Blind History coming out? You're dropping the ball, Greg. No, Greg. It comes out every Tuesday. That we're on to season 2. I think we're already gone on to episode 3, which will be out today. And there are a whole lot more on the way already. The last one we did was Vlad the Impaler, I think. It's very exciting. Now we've got the whole of season 2 is almost finished being recorded, and then we're going to start looking at what else we can do in the future. So stick around for that. Blind History every Tuesday morning at like 7:45. Somewhere around there. Okay, we're going to talk about this website. Well, it's kind of a Facebook page, Facebook group called I'm Staying. In the past few weeks, when South Africa's been facing some really negative news, this Jarette Petzer decided to change the narrative with this group. Now, according to the description, it is dedicated to South African women and men of all races and religions who remain loyal to South Africa. Within a few weeks, it's gained over 50,000 members who share their good news, day-to-day proudly local encounters. So it's something fun to talk about, and I thought we'd just check in and see what they can tell us. Hey, Jarette, what's up?
Hey, Gareth, how you doing?
Cool, man. Well, listen, first of all, well done on starting something and doing something positive, because, you know, a lot of people are in this negative spiral and they're just trying to find reasons to be miserable and reasons to not have to engage in conversation about this. Look, I'm kind of cynical myself. What made you make the decision to do this?
Sure. Listen, I mean, there was no real expectation for the public to respond the way that they did. It was just a video that I did to say, let's just give a little bit more gratitude, because I was also quite negative and despondent. And I made a small video on my personal page, and somebody said start a group. And I started the group, and this is what happened. So it wasn't like we set out with this great intention to change the narrative of South Africa. I wanted to create something that was uplifting, that I had no idea it was going to run like it has.
Well, that's fantastic. What are the numbers looking like at the moment?
325,000.
Jesus, man, that's incredible. And it's
mad, yeah.
That's fantastic. A real mix of people, huh?
Yeah, we've got a wonderful diversity on the page, and it's really nice to see the sort of walls of division are sort of coming down. You know, it's really nice just to see all of the South Africans just sort of congregating in one space and uplifting each other for a change, and just ignoring the stuff that's going on around us just for a little while, eh?
The negative stuff. But what is it now? Because I know you say when you started it, you didn't really have any expectation, but now that it is happening. What do you want to happen? I mean, how would you like this to carry on? How would you like it to unfold? What kind of stuff, are people sharing?
Yeah, so there's a lot that's actually happening in the background, but it's a process. You know, we've only been going for the last 3 weeks, and there's a lot that still needs to happen. But the gist of what's coming out is that people want to see this thing on the ground. So we've had a wonderful response for some big events companies that have contacted us to turn this into something that's a little bit more tangible on the ground and national.
So you're going to do quite something. What, almost events?
Yeah, like events for the movement, which is pretty exciting. You know, we're at early stages there still. We're just getting around the table to discuss how that might work. But that's quite encouraging to know that we could actually turn this into something where everyone will be able to gather, because that's what we're getting a lot of. People are saying, you know, let's connect, let's have bras, let's do this, let's do picnics. And so, you know, we're sort of answering that call, but we want to do it on a large scale. We want to be able to connect everyone on a large scale. So that's the one side of it. The other side of it is that there's a lot of good business initiatives that are coming out of this thing. So in the way of being able to aid small businesses, grassroots companies, like small little guys that are trying to establish a business and participate in the economy. And then also job creation, you know. So we're getting a lot of support from guys that are keen to see an initiative like this actually progress to the next stage and hopefully contribute towards growing the economy and reducing unemployment, which is obviously one of the major problems in South Africa. If we can address the core issues, we can start to address the rest of the things. So, that's it.
There's a funny thing that happens. The minute someone does something good like you've done here, there are a whole lot of people who suddenly climb on board and tell you how you could do it better and what you're doing wrong, which always strikes me as weird, because if they thought it was such a great idea, why didn't they start it? Have you had detractors?
We've had a lot. I mean, you can imagine there's a lot of stuff coming through the woodwork. So what I've tried to do is find myself a decent counsel that I can sort of trust, you know, people that I know have got the best intentions for what I'm trying to achieve at heart.
Yeah.
So, I mean, just slow things down a lot, you know, just slow things down, because everyone's coming at me all at once, which is quite something to deal with. It really is.
And what any response at all from, like, non-government organizations, government themselves, anything like that?
Yeah, so government, I don't think we're going to hear from them, because we've been quite firm on our rules. We're not political. I've had one or two guys in political parties make recommendations that, you know, we should pair with them and we should become a political party ourselves, which is dead against what we're trying to achieve.
Right.
So I don't think we're going to hear from the politicians, although they are talking about us. I've seen a lot of them tweeting about us and talking about the movement, because I think it benefits everybody in the long run, you know.
Well, you know, if you had 350,000 votes, you would be a very large political party in parliament.
Jeez.
Yeah, we would, but then we'd be
assholes.
Then we'd be like all the rest, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I'm with you. Don't worry. I'm not
trying to. You'd have to become lying, cheating bastards.
Yeah. I'm not trying to persuade you, I promise.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's not our intention. In terms of NGOs and stuff, we've had a lot. We've had a lot of people, and we want to get involved with all of those guys, but we also need to just find our feet. So that's really what our objective is now, for the short term, is to find our feet, to stabilize, to make sure that we've got our thinking caps on and our roadmap in place. And then we want to help everybody. We want to help everybody. The idea is to uplift things and make things better for everyone, you know.
All this while doing a day job, and most people who are involved in it with you have their normal jobs and day-to-day activities.
Yeah, it's crazy. So this thing's starting to consume a lot of my time. It's almost becoming impossible to do two things at once. The guys that are helping in the background are volunteering. I mean, everyone's doing this. I think this thing speaks to everybody very loudly, because it's not about self gain. This is actually about something much bigger. And this might be the one and only chance we get to try and turn things around. Who knows? It wasn't set out that way, but it looks like that's what it's become. So,
a lot
of dedicated people.
What would you like to see happen now that it is going? Would you like to see a movement of actual events, a groundswell of people, a kind of almost like a group that you could rely on to provide useful information for research, that can form some kind of community that helps each other out? What would you like to see happen?
Yeah. So all of those things, I mean, I want to see all of that stuff happen. Also, you know, we're really wanting to flesh out the stories, because that's one thing that's shining through very strongly. All these amazing stories that people are telling us about the reasons they're staying in the country, why South Africa means so much to them. And we really just want to be able to shine a spotlight on those stories and hopefully, you know, share those stories with the world, because despite our challenges and despite all the issues that we have as a country, as a people, we're a fantastic people. And we have got what it takes to come right, but we've sort of been detracted by the politics and by all the other stuff that's going on. So the key here is that if this thing can affect our country in any way in a positive, and it can bring about some sort of togetherness, and just to get us to just start, you know, stop, take these dividers down that are separating us, because those dividers have never been higher. I've never seen people more divided before in this country, you know, in my lifetime anyway.
Yeah.
And, that stuff needs to go. We need to remember that we're a melting pot of culture, and it's tough. It's not easy because we got these cultural differences, but we have to learn to respect each other's differences, and we have to learn to understand that we're in this thing together, you know, and that's the bottom line. We're in it together, whether we like it or not.
Maybe it can keep smug immigrants out of our faces as well for once.
Yeah, I don't know. You know what is cool though is that I think like the mainstream media is getting strangled with this thing, because everyone's feed is just getting hashtag I'm staying all the time. So we're not getting a lot of airtime. Like all the negative stuff's not getting a lot of airtime at the moment, which is very cool. I'm happy.
Yeah, I like that too. So here's Sindiswa, who says this is a really great initiative. I jumped in because it hit home and it's changing the image of our country. Hell yes, hashtag I'm staying. So you're obviously getting some very nice feedback from people. What? Are the media at least pretending to like what you're doing, or are they outright just detracting?
No, I've got to say we've had a lot of support from the media. They've been covering us since this thing became, you know, started getting some legs. They've been covering us a lot. So I mean, hats off. The media's actually helped us spread the message, and we've been on a couple of the news channels, and we're in most of the publications over the weekend, which is great. So we've had it's been a good run so far. There's one or two guys that have got their own opinion about what this thing is, and that's fine. You know, everyone's entitled to have their own opinion. We're just going to stay steadfast in what we're doing, and that's all we can do.
Well, good luck, man. I think it's great. I you know, the more the merrier. I'm not much of a patriot. I used to be, but I don't really see the point of patriotism in this day and age. I do, however, respect everybody's right to live wherever they want and to support whatever they want. And I think it's terrific that there's a group now. People can join and share nice stories and kind of form a community.
Awesome, Gareth. Thank you so much, man.
Good work. All right, dude. Thanks very much. There's
Jarrett Petzer. Thanks, man. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Cool. There we go. Jarrett Petzer, who's the founder of I'm Staying.
Very good.
All right. All right. So what else is in the news?
Well, just a quick one from me. I was speaking a little bit earlier about how my life's a comedy of errors.
Yes. Uh-huh.
At least this didn't happen, and this happened in the Eastern Cape, close to home.
Yes.
A woman has been arrested after her husband apparently died after being cut by a shard from a mayonnaise bottle hurled at him.
Ooh.
And he died, huh?
He died. So, wow. Women, next time you're thinking of throwing whatever you're cooking or preparing in the kitchen at your husband, what a freak accident.
Well,
oof, she must feel so bad.
She wanted him to be hurt, clearly.
And it was an alcohol-induced argument.
Hurt is one thing, to kill a person is another.
Yeah. That's very violent and unattractive and not very good for the marriage.
No, look, let's say it always takes two to tango, and he had struck her with a knobkerrie on the head while she was cooking. So she retaliated by throwing this bottle of mayonnaise.
Oh, really? Nice people.
A shard of glass from the bottle cut through his upper arm, leaving him bleeding profusely.
Ugh.
Then medical services were called, but the man refused medical assistance.
Oh, Gandhi. Okay.
They then continued their evening of drinking alcohol, the couple did.
Oh, they drank together?
Yes, they carried on, and they went to sleep.
And then she found
him at 5 a.m. dead, because he'd bled out.
How sexy. What lovely
people.
No, I mean, it's just awful. Horrible. Can't believe that we have people like this living among us who throw mayonnaise bottles at each other and carry on drinking and then just fall asleep with their arm bleeding, thinking, I'll be fine in the morning. It's just a scratch.
What?
Well, dare I say they're perfect for each other?
Yeah, perhaps.
Yeah, now we'll have to do, without him around, how's she going to off herself?
I mean, that's some turmoil.
All right. There is also this actor who is a voice actor.
Mm-hmm.
Who does these incredible monster sounds. He's like the one dude who they use for all the monsters and creatures.
He's the go-to guy in Hollywood.
Does he have the Hollywood tender?
He's got the tender, correct. Yeah. Listen to this. That's him. By the way, he's holding his nose closed when he does this, and he's got his hands around his mouth. And
does he look unattractive?
Yeah, it's not very attractive.
How are those noises, though?
Amazing.
Right? And then all they do is amplify that, and
he sounds like... He's not using anything but his hands and
Godzilla.
Voice.
Yeah, it's just...
Those are big dinosaurs.
Very big dinosaurs.
All right, listen to this.
Hey, I'm Dear Brett. I'm Igagwiga Bear. God bless
you. No, he can speak.
Take two. Hey, I am Dee Bradley Baker. I'm a voice actor who's known for doing creatures... monsters and animal sounds in a lot of Hollywood projects. My first break probably in voice acting would be a Nickelodeon game show called Legends of the Hidden Temple.
Legends of the Hidden Temple with your guide, Kirk Fogg.
I got to do lots of different voices as this big rock god, Olmec. I moved his mouth and spoke.
It's my temple.
That was kind of my first gig where it became clear to me that I think I want to do something like this.
How about some birds? Well, let's see. Turkey?
That's very good.
Mm.
That's him. He makes the cricket noise.
Mm.
I mean... This is really a talent.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous, but it's a talent. That's a warthog.
Mm-hmm.
That's a bee.
When I close off my nose, it gives a resonance to it that makes it feel bigger. For instance, like that, or it's almost like closing off vowels on a wind instrument, is how I think of it. All right, we can wrap it up. I work on all kinds of different fun shows. Some of my notable characters might be
Klaus on American Dad. Hello, Francine. I'm ready for my fish feeding now.
I was Daffy Duck in Space Jam. All right, bub. Ugh, let's make fun of the duck.
Harry the Platypus in Phineas and Ferb. A lot of characters in SpongeBob.
Squilliam Fancyson.
And Perch Perkins Action News.
And maybe a copfish.
There's a fly.
Help me!
I'll get you, my pretty. Where was I?
What a weird dude.
That is so cool, though.
That's a great job, huh? Yeah. Imagine doing that for fun. Well, for work. Get paid for it to make ridiculous noises, like monster noises.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Interesting dude.
Yeah.
Wow.
And you often, Bradley Baker.
That there are lots of people that contribute to making all these noises in movies, but he could actually do the whole thing himself.
Do all of them.
Yeah.
Just hire him. It's just unbelievable. Good for him.
Very
awesome
cool.
Awesome job.
And how he actually went about discovering he can do this is a whole other story.
Well, one of my favorite things to do on YouTube is just to go on and find these people who do like 100 impersonations.
Mm. Oh, yes.
And they do them one after the other. And some of them are really terrific and some of them are kind of crap. Because I can do impressions, but I like to see how other people do them. It makes it easier for me to do them. Like, before I'd seen Alec Baldwin doing Trump, I couldn't really do Trump.
Mm-hmm, okay.
Does that make any sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't do the greatest Trump, by the way, but I saw, who was it that did a really brilliant Barack Obama? There's a guy who does a terrific Barack Obama, and I could never do him. And then I watched this guy, and I saw how to do it.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense to me only because impersonations are the one thing I, well, one of the many things I can't do. But honestly, I just can't wrap my mind around how people do great impressions and impersonations. Is it, do you get a cue from hearing someone speak?
Yeah, well, everybody's got funny speech patterns and different rhythms and they pronounce words differently.
I don't know how to do it.
You do. You do one. I've heard you doing one before. Where you speak like a boot?
Yeah, you speak like a boot.
Yeah, that's like one.
So you can do
so
it.
Okay,
I can
do it.
You can speak like a Santa Knight.
No, but it's being very particular. You know, when people do a President Trump, a President Obama,
I used
really
to keep a list.
So cool.
I had a list when I started off in radio. I used to use it almost as my CV. I can do all these impersonations. Mm. I mean, some of them are so irrelevant now, I wouldn't even know. And I doubt that I still even have the list somewhere. But one of the people who's really good at it is Frank Azaria. He's an actor in his own right, but he does a lot of The Simpsons voices.
Anytime I'm doing a voice, which is often for me, it's based on someone I know.
Do you ever give him a heads up?
No, I try to get away with it.
So listen to this. This is some of his Simpsons characters.
Pretty Woman. I was like 23 years old, 22. I played like a cop out on Hollywood Boulevard. I had done a TV show before that and told everybody I was going to be in it, as you would do, and then got cut from the show. And I was really embarrassed and bummed. So I didn't tell anybody that I had gotten these few lines in Pretty Woman because I just assumed I was going to get cut. And then by the time the movie came out, I forgot that I didn't tell anyone. And I got all these calls from angry relatives going, why didn't you tell me you were in a movie? I'm like, oh, I forgot I didn't tell people. That was fun. That's the movie that made Julia Roberts. I mean, I think everybody in show business already knew she was going to be huge. She was coming off that movie Mystic Pizza, but that movie really made her. Heat. That was insanely great working with Al Pacino.
I'm just going to move this along to The Simpsons.
Simpsons, yes. The
Simpsons. Who's been your favorite character to play in The Simpsons?
Probably Mo. He's been the most developed and closest to my heart. Mo is sort of a weird version of young Al Pacino made gravelly.
No! If this gets out, the next words you say will be muffled by your own butt.
Police Chief Wiggum is an imitation of Edward G. Robinson, who's an old gangster actor from the 1940s.
Wiggum. Yeah, right, mister. Mm-hmm. An elephant just knocked over your mailbox. Okay.
And it's actually my impression of Mel Blanc's impression of Edward G. Robinson.
See what I mean?
Mel Blanc, for you kids playing at home, was the original voice of Bugs Bunny and other Warner Brothers cartoon characters.
Snake is just kind of Jeff Spicoli from Fast Times and also a kid I went to college with who was always stoned.
Okay.
Comic book guy is another friend of mine from college. Lived next door freshman year.
Oh, loneliness and cheeseburgers are a dangerous mix.
He had a Barca lounger in his room. He would sit in it, and he would have a list on his little dry erase board outside his door. If he liked you, you were on his good list. If he did not like you that week, you were on his bad list.
Love it. I love it. See, it's reasons. One of the reasons that The Simpsons have been so successful. And by the way, I mean, there's that whole thing going on in the internet at the moment that actually The Simpsons is like the closest thing we have to proof of time travel because of all the predictions they've made that they've got absolutely right. Even the visuals of Trump going down the escalator and becoming president and that kind of thing. But Hank Azaria and these impersonations, one of the reasons, well, the voices he does, one of the reasons that I love watching shows like that. The voices. I've always loved that.
I'm very much into that. And then also dialects and linguistics. Like I like watching these videos of dialect coaches in Hollywood who coach especially actors who want to speak in a South African accent. Mm. And he's an American guy.
Yeah.
And he helps him speak in a South African accent.
We have like 20, so 30 different accents in this country.
Yeah.
A correction here. There are lots of people who want to climb in on this one. So Sean says it's Hank Azaria. Did I say Frank Azaria? Sorry about that. And I can do a real Kaapse fishwife in plat Afrikaans. Well, that's terrific. Good for you. I don't know how useful that is, but go for it, Riet. That's beautiful.
And sorry, just a random memory that came up when you mentioned a Kaapse fishwife. Did anyone see the video of the old Danny in Cape Town with the royals a couple of days ago?
No, what happened?
No, everyone is meant to adhere to royal protocol and their security measures and whatnot. You can't tell a Kaapse Danny what to do. This Kaapse Danny somehow got over the barriers.
Yes.
When Harry and Meghan were walking past and she goes, hey, 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 just gesturing for them to come over to her, awesome. Not for her to go over to them. And they actually did come over. She goes, come here, come here. She like forces them to a hug and she says, yeah, where's Archie?
Where's Archie? Let me take a selfie.
Yeah, where's Archie?
That's lovely. That's great.
I'm like, this is so... We're used to
it. She's having none of it.
Africa. Oh, yeah. And they graciously gave her a hug and they ended up walking away. Gotta love them.
I like that. That's nice. Huh?
Yeah.
Cool. Very good. All right. That's pretty much all we got time for this morning, but we will see you tomorrow between 6 and 9 for Tuesday. It's a whole week this week, a full week. Most people haven't come to terms with that yet. But
it's going to be hard.
Yeah, I know. It's going to be none of that sitting around wasting time like last week. And if you want to get hold of us, you know what to do. You can get hold of us on gareth@cliffcentral.com or on our 0797482090 message board. And we'll check you out tomorrow. Have a good day. All right?
Okay, you too.
All right, bye.
Bye. cliffcentral.com